Well, I've always enjoyed that story in the Old Testament for lots of reasons. It has lessons for us. That's why we're going to talk about it for the most part. It has a bit of humor in it, if you're willing to look for it. We see all kinds of interesting behaviors and patterns in there. And it just reminds me again that it doesn't matter how far back you go. People, well, we're just kind of people. And there's very similar issues no matter when or where. And so we have this guy named Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, a great man in the sight of his master, which is obviously the case because that's just the way it goes. Don't have nobodies who are caught the eye of the king. All in all, he's doing quite well. I love how it says in the New International Version, he was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, leprosy was a problem for everybody back then. It's still a problem today. Don't know exactly what was meant back then, but it was an ongoing sign of God's disapproval of you for the most part, and we can exegete that at some later point if you really insist. But that's looked at it as a problem. It was a problem. So, we have this great commander who can do anything he wants except the one thing that apparently matters to him quite a lot, namely cure himself. So, who enters the picture now? A girl. Well, girls get a rough enough ride today, being ignored and all the rest of it, if they're lucky. Imagine what it was like back then, because not only do you have this girl, you have this girl who was captured from another obviously inferior nation, given as a servant. The girl says to her mistress, who is Naaman's wife, you know, if your husband would go and talk to the prophet in Samaria, things would work out pretty well. Okay, so you have somebody listening to a servant, and then you have the message being given to a wife who are also not doing very well back then. She goes and talks to her husband and says, okay, there's a possibility that you might be healed if you go to this servant in Samaria. And this tells you something about Naaman. Either he's desperate or he's slightly more enlightened, and then he actually listens to his wife, which was not the norm back then. Goes to the king and says, hey, there's a possibility I can be healed. I want to go. What do you think? The king says, that's great. Let me give you a letter. And he gives a letter from one king to another. Naaman takes a bunch of stuff along just in case. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy. At which point the king of Israel freaks out. Which makes sense. If all you're thinking of is what's in front of you, if you've forgotten the possibility that God actually does exist and does what he says he's going to, it's easy to see why he would freak out. He looks at this as a pretext, a casus belli, if you want to get into your Latin, for war. I asked you to do me this little favor and you didn't, therefore I'm going to destroy your nation. That's what the king thought. Elisha hears about this and goes, oh, come on. Sends a letter to the king. You've torn your robes over nothing. Send this guy over here and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. Okay, Naaman goes, pulls up in front of him. Elisha sends somebody out and says, go wash in the river Jordan 7 times and you'll be fine. Guy goes in and closes the door. Probably didn't slam it because, you know, this is a general after all. Closes the door. At which point, Naaman freaks out. Once again, you kind of understand this. And what he freaks out with is what he's being asked. And that's where the sermon title comes from. You want me to do what? And then he goes on this little peroration about how there are better rivers elsewhere, the Jordan's a muddy hole, he doesn't want to go there, it's terrible, and he stomps off in a rage. At that point, his underlings intervene as best they can. The NLT talks about officers, the NIV talks about servants, and the way they put it here is, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? And so they're ingratiating themselves, which only makes sense to a general in a rage, that you're going to at least do something. They sort of ease their way in, calling him father, all that kind of thing. Well, if he'd asked you to do a hard thing, wouldn't you have done? Well, think about that for a while. Our immediate thought here is that Naaman is an idiot. All he has to go is dip himself in a river. Who cares? But think about it for a second. When was the last time you had something you knew you needed to do that you didn't want to? Example that I used when I was at Knox this morning, because it's a pretty good one because we've all had it somewhere. You've done something. You've said something stupid. made a joke at somebody's expense, whatever it is. There's somebody that you need to go and talk to and make something right. What could be easier than that? Well, almost anything. Hardly any of us enjoy that kind of thing. And what do we tend to do? We think, well, I'd like this to be right. Maybe I can save them from a burning building. Maybe I can pull them back from a bus out of control. Maybe I can do some big dramatic thing. Maybe I can go and build them a house or something. Except we're not asked to do those things. When we've done something stupid, whether it's to someone in our immediate circle or further than that, we're asked to go and make it right. And my response, I won't speak for you, is you want me to do what? You want me to go and apologize to my kid? No, I'd rather buy them something. I'd rather let them do this thing they want to do that ordinarily I'd say no. Why? It's because we expect to do hard, dramatic, big things to make things better. And we want to because they're a step removed. And at the end of the day, when we've done a big, hard, dramatic thing, it's still all about us. Look how wonderful I am. I gave you the thing. When what we need to do is go and say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. How hard is that? Well, if you're like me, it's hard. I'd rather do something else. Some days I'd rather do anything else than admit that I was wrong, than admit that I made a mistake, admit that I was a fool. That's where Naaman is. What he wants is he wants something big and dramatic. First of all, he wanted the prophet to come out, do an incantation, maybe a dance, wave his hands around, and it would be gone. And he didn't get that. What he got was, go and do the easiest thing in the world. Stand in some water, duck yourself in, do it 7 times. And he drags all these excuses in the way. The Jordan is a muddy, ugly river. I've never seen it. Apparently, it's nothing to write home about. It's just a... One person described the part he'd seen as a muddy creek. So I don't know if that's what it's like. I've never been there. By all accounts, it's not the Rhine. It's not even the Saskatchewan. And there are better rivers. The study Bible tells us that one of the rivers that Naaman wants to go in was called the Golden River by the Greeks. It was so lovely. He wants to go there. No, he goes to this other place. Finally, bites the bullet. He goes, dips himself, and he's restored. Well, the answer to, you want me to do what? Is usually, yes, that's what I want you to do. God asks us to do things, some of which are superficially easy, but are really hard because of who we are. And we want to do something else for all kinds of reasons, not least of which it means that we're still in control. We decide what we do. We get to decide the frames of reference of the experience. It's not embarrassing to us. And we don't want to. We want to do something harder. When we're asked to do something that isn't hard until we actually look at it, we just complain about it. No, I'm not going to do that. That's dumb. Why should I have to apologize to my children for all the things I've done for them already? They should be apologizing to me just because. Now, nobody says that out loud. But we almost live there sometimes, don't we? Or with our friends. With those acquaintances, with strangers that we were unkind to just because we were in a bad mood. All of those things. We could spend a lot of time, and I think some of us do, asking God, you want me to do what? Because at first it sounds trivial, and then we think about it, and then we realize it's anything but, and we still don't want to do it. Naaman had to humiliate himself, if you will, at least had to humble himself, to go to a river he didn't like and dip himself in. Sometimes God says, you know, you need to be kinder to yourself. I say, you want me to do what? Sometimes God says, you need to love yourself. You need to forgive yourself. Sometimes he says, you need to be kind to other people. Sometimes he even says, that person. You need to forgive that person. You need to do these things. And at first you think, well, that's pretty easy. That can't solve this problem. And then you think, well, even if it can, it's too hard. It's too embarrassing. It's too impossible. Forgiveness is a difficult thing to do. Hardly any of us like to do it, especially when the person hasn't asked. The person hasn't asked to be forgiven. Why should you forgive them? Well, for the same reason you should give up resentment. I know I've told you this one before because I think I even wrote it down. Resentment is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. And unforgiveness is about the same. You forgive someone because you have come to peace with the fact that you have no hope for a better past. That's what forgiveness does. The first time I came across that one, I sort of skipped by it and then went, wait, what? And went back to it. And I've come back to it off and on over the intervening years. Forgiveness means coming to just living with the fact that you cannot have a better past. Because it's past. It's back there. You can't change it. Now, you can live like it, you can. And you can live like it's still there. And you can live like it's going to continue to bother you forever. And it will if you let it. Or you can forgive. You want me to do what? You want me to forgive that person who never even asked? You want me to forgive that person who hasn't asked because they're dead? Because they don't even know I exist? You want me to forgive that politician, that religious leader, that teacher from way back when? Well, I'm not going to do that. Why not? Because it's so easy? Because it's so hard? It's a little of both, isn't it? The words, I forgive you, are the easiest things in the word to say. I forgive you. Four syllables. You teach them to a parrot. Eventually teach them to your children. Apparently I can eventually learn it too. I'm still working on it. I'm not that great at it, but you know, got another half century maybe to keep going. We'll see. The words aren't hard. The action is. Because it means we have to actually own what was, and say, I release it and I release you, whether you want me to or not, whether you've asked me to or not, whether you can ask me or not, whether you did it on purpose or not, all of those things. God says, I want you to love that person. What? You want me to do what? You want me to love that? You want me to love my boss? He's a jerk. You want me to love that person? She's terrible. You notice God doesn't say, I want you to love them after they're less jerky and less terrible. I want you to love them now. Well, that seems pretty easy, except it isn't. It's really hard. We don't want to do this because it's embarrassing to us. We have to change what we think. We have to change our status as far as we're concerned. And God says, I don't care about your status. I care about your soul. I care about your well-being. People who live in the grip of unforgiveness, people who refuse to love each other, refuse to forgive themselves, be kind to themselves and others, they die young and they die miserable. I'd like to say it another way, but it's true. One of the single best predictors of lifespan is how you treat yourself and how you treat others. I'm not talking about how well you eat, although that's important too. But if you're the kind of person who forgives yourself and is kind to yourself, who forgives others and is kind to others, you will live longer, all things being equal. And you'll be a lot better to be around too, which is just a bonus, I guess. We're called to do hard and easy things. And we frequently get it wrong, which one we're being asked to do. We think it's too easy or we think it's too hard, and the answer is it's neither. Of all the things God will ever ask you to do, I can't say definitively very many things, but one of the things I can say is that God will never ask you to do what you cannot do. God will not ask you to fly unassisted until such time as he gives you the spiritual gift of levitation. God doesn't ask us to do things we can't. They're not always easy. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're hard. Naaman was asked to do something that was hard. Not because it was physically hard, but because it was hard in all the other ways. To go to a dumpy river in front of his people, get all wet and messy. But he did it. And he stepped out restored. Because that's what God does. I wonder, how easy was it for Naaman to make that trip, first of all, and then to step into the river, and then to dip himself? We sort of go from that he got there and then he got out after 7. What was it like after 5? What kind of an idiot do you think he felt like he was? That's how we are. The worst moments, some of the worst moments of my life have been leading up to saying, I'm sorry, forgive me. Some of the worst moments of my life. Those are the moments, not when I'm in a dentist chair, those are the moments that I want to just go up in flames or something, and just die. How often has that been the case for you? Maybe never. Maybe this is easy for you. But these things that God asks us to do are frequently hard for us to do them. But what happens when they're done? I have never felt worse after forgiving somebody or after going through that misery of getting there and actually saying those words. I have never suddenly felt even worse than I did before. I have always felt better, usually instantly. Sometimes I'm still embarrassed, especially when you ask somebody to forgive you for this terrible thing you did, and they go, oh, I didn't even notice. Proving once again that forgiveness is about you, not about them. We do these hard things because that's what needs to be done. Not because we want to, but because we want the end result. And you'll notice that there's nothing in this passage of Scripture that suggests that Naaman needed a bath per se, that there was some value in him being wet, because that's not what was going on. The value was release from leprosy. The value in doing what we've been asked to do is the restoration of the relationship with the person, with ourselves, with God. When God asks us to do things, we need to do them. We can put them off. It hardly ever makes it easier. It's never made it easier in my experience, but I'm only one person. When we're asked to do these things, we're allowed to ask, you want me to do what? If you think that's a problem, I'm here to let you know. You can ask that question. That's never a problem. You're even allowed to not like the prospect of what you have to do. You just have to do it anyway. When we do these things, when we pursue restoration because God has told us this is the way forward, that's when we take the next step in becoming the person that we were created to be. That's when we become closer to fully reflecting the image of God within us. That's when we become that much more equipped to make the difference that only we can make in this world. Because that's why God asks us to do these things. So that we can become more and more ourselves and be more and more useful to everyone. Not because he gets any joy out of us being embarrassed, but because that's what we need to do to move forward. To be healed, to be cured of our own leprosy, whether it's a physical kind or a different kind. So the next time God asks you to do something, go ahead, ask the question, rhetorical or otherwise, you want me to do what? You can even ask, you want me to do it how? And then do it. It might not be easy, but few things of value are. What it will be is the right thing to do. And doing the right thing is what moves us closer to being the right kind of people so we can do the right kind of things. Amen.